from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we have yet another managerial rumor to talk about, the Giants being linked to yet another name in their search for a new manager. And then on Twitter, I sent out a request yesterday for some Q&A or topic suggestion ideas. Several of you already submitted some great questions, so I just want to get to a couple of those, although this is not going to officially be our mailbag session today. I do want to have that continue to be a regular thing, probably at least once a week. So the first thing to talk about is the new name for the Giants managerial search, and it was Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area reporting that the Giants are interested in Cubs first base coach Will Venable. So Venable is somebody I talked about as a potential candidate for this job before he was linked to the Giants. I think it was shortly after he was linked to the Cubs as a potential replacement for Joe Maddon. So the Cubs either already did or planned to interview Venable for their open managerial position. And so about Venable, he's just 36 years old, and he was a special assistant to the Cubs president of baseball operations, Theo Epstein, before taking over as the first base coach, which he was this season. Venable was a longtime player, and not too long ago, he was actually the batter who struck out in 2010 with Brian Wilson on the mound on the last day of the regular season for the Giants to clinch that division against the Padres. So he was a longtime Padre. He also spent some time in Texas and with the Dodgers. And I think the significant thing about his time with the Dodgers is that that was in 2016 when Farhan Zaidi was the general manager. So they almost certainly already have some level of a relationship. I'm sure they at least met when Zaidi was there as the GM. And the fact that they're reportedly interested in him speaks volumes about what Zaidi thinks about him as a possible manager. And I said this on Twitter, and I'll say it again here. If Venable does, in fact, interview for the position with the Giants, I would go so far as to call him the favorite, just because he fits the mold really, really well. And everyone else we've looked at, there's typically been some kind of reason that I don't quite see it as the perfect fit. With the caveat that, and I say this every time we talk about these candidates, we don't actually really know all that much about who they are and what they're going to be like and what they would be like as the manager. It's so different with players. We can just look at their numbers and we've seen them play a lot. But with a manager, it's a totally different story. And a lot of what goes into being a manager is about what they're like behind the scenes and behind closed doors. And that's just something we don't have nearly as much access to. So it's all taken with a giant grain of salt when we're sitting here speculating about who's the favorite and who's not. But if I had to create a profile who I would think would be the next manager before this process even started and before we had any names, Will Venable would be a guy who would be high on my list. The other thing about Venable is that he grew up in the Bay Area and his dad played for the Giants. So that's a huge factor that I had yet to mention until now. But he went to school in Marin County. He was born in Marin County. He attended Princeton, and then he was a major leaguer for 9 seasons. So I did some background work on Venable, which is simply like going on YouTube and watching how they are in interviews and how they interact with people. And Venable really fits the bill well in that he's very well-spoken and polite and just has an infectious personality to the point where you just, you know, he doesn't rub you the wrong way at all. He's very likable. And I think that's an important quality in managers in today's day and age, that they're extremely likable. They don't, you know, they handle tough questions well. Not that he was being necessarily asked tough questions, but he just doesn't seem like a guy who's got a short fuse or anything like that. And the fact that he was a recent player makes him someone who the players respect and can relate to, and that's important, I think. But then the fact that, you know, he went to Princeton, he's worked in a front office before, he's obviously a very intelligent guy, so it seems like he could have a good relationship with the front office as well, and that is equally as important as having a good and productive relationship with the players. So anyway, we don't yet have a confirmed report that Venable is going to interview for the position, but as soon as we hear that, we'll certainly pass it along. But assuming he does, which I don't think we should assume that he will, but let's just say that he does, then we have a list of six names. And initially, Farhan Zaidi said the list would be about 8 to 10 names. So it would be Venable, Pedro Grifol, Mark Kotze, Gabe Kapler, Ron Wotus, and Hensley Mullins. So the list is starting to take shape. It's going to be fascinating to hear updates all along the way. Can't wait to hear, you know, when everyone's been interviewed and we maybe find out about who made it through to the second round and who's being brought in for second and third time. It's going to be a fascinating story to cover all off season. I mean, until it goes down, until they make a hire, which I would expect to happen at some point, probably before December, but we shall see. So anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, I just want to touch upon a comment or two that you guys made on Twitter in response to me prompting for a Giants mailbag, which again, we're going to continue to do throughout the offseason. I think it's going to be a very fun part of the offseason lineup for this show. So anyway, answering some questions, that's all coming up next. But first, everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite team or seeing your favorite band in person. I want to talk about the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, where you can attend these shows and events and earn credit towards attending your next live event through Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is the top source for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price, section, row, sit exactly where you want to sit, all through the Vivid Seats app. And what makes them really stand out here is their Vivid Seats loyalty program, which allows you to earn credit back through something called Vivid Seats Rewards. You can download the Vivid Seats app at the App Store or Google Play Store, and you'll be automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. You can attend the biggest concerts, the hottest games, postseason games, theater shows, and more. Download the app, automatically join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today, and make a memory that lasts a lifetime, and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. If you enter special promo code POSTSEASON at checkout, you can earn a discount of up to $100. We talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, as promised here in the second half of the show, I just want to quickly look at least one question that I thought was interesting and warranted a look prior to doing our official mailbag, which very well may come tomorrow. So this question comes from Cameron Armstrong, and he says, out of all our free agents, who do you think we will retain? Do we sign Smith and Bum or slap them with a qualifying offer? So I thought this was an interesting question because of the idea of the qualifying offer, and I think it opens up a larger topic about the qualifying offer that I definitely have been meaning to have on this show. And first of all, it's important to point out that we know now the value of the qualifying offer. It's determined by the mean salary of the game's 125 highest paid players. And this year, for the first time ever, that salary actually went down from the previous year. So the value of the qualifying offer this year will be set at $17.8 million, and that's down $100,000 from last year's mark of $17.9 million. And so the question about Smith and Bumgarner and the qualifying offer is a very relevant one, especially now that we have that figure. So I think that it makes sense to offer the qualifying offer to Bumgarner and Smith, regardless of whether or not they ultimately bring them back. Smith is a very interesting case because it's possible that he would elect to accept the qualifying offer because it's just such a massive raise over what his salary in 2019 was. Will Smith was signed for just $4.225 million in 2019. So, you know, that was a one-year situation, final year of arbitration eligibility. And now we're talking about $17.8 million. So it's just a massive raise from that point. And I think it's something that he would consider taking, especially because the way the qualifying offer system works is that once the qualifying offer is made by the club, the player has 10 days to either accept it or reject it. And during that window, they can also talk to other teams to get a sense for their market. So the thing about it, though, is that if they decline the qualifying offer, then there is draft pick compensation tied to their free agency. And depending on the status of the team that ultimately signs him, assuming it's not the Giants, the team would stand to lose a draft pick, which varies depending on whether you paid luxury tax and received revenue sharing and or received revenue sharing. And teams also can lose international bonus pool money. So it's a complicated structure, it really is. And it also depends on the value at which the player signs and whether or not it's greater than $50 million, something along those lines. We can perhaps go into it in detail on a later date. But the fact is that it boils down to the fact that Smith's value would be suppressed by declining the qualifying offer because any team that signs him has to give up more than just money. They also are surrendering a draft pick, whether it's, you know, no team has to surrender a first round selection, but it can be as high as their second pick, depending on the status of the team that signs him. So all that to say that in recent years, this has really held down people's value in free agency. And these guys who have rejected the qualifying offer have had a hard time signing in free agency, especially guys who aren't megastars. I think, you know, someone like Bryce Harper, for example, had this qualifying offer attached to him, but he ultimately got $330 million over 13 years. But someone like Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell, they had a much harder time with this. So I think there's a lot of value for Will Smith to just accept the qualifying offer, stay in a pitcher-friendly ballpark where he's comfortable and he has an established role as being a closer, and then he could either be dealt at the deadline in 2020 or he could reach free agency in 2020 without having to worry about the qualifying offer and everything that goes along with rejecting it, because you can only receive the qualifying offer once in your career. So anyway, I don't think it's simply a question of should they re-sign them or slap them with the qualifying offer. I think it could be both. For Bumgarner, it's definitely a more complicated situation. I have said on this show that I think he might be wise to accept the qualifying offer rather than have to deal with what Dallas Keuchel dealt with last offseason. But I would imagine that he is probably not so keen on that idea. But again, I do think the Giants should and will extend him the qualifying offer as well. So all of this points to the fact that this whole system is very flawed, because if I'm talking about really talented guys like Bumgarner and Smith finally reaching free agency, and then I'm saying they should basically punt their free agency for an entire season because of the negative effects of rejecting the qualifying offer, then the system is flawed. And I don't doubt that at all, that this is a very flawed system, and it has had unintended consequences of really hurting people's free agency. So anyway, I know I actually did not answer that question. Out of all our free agents, who do you think we will retain? I think that Smith comes back accepting the qualifying offer. And I also think that Stephen Vogt is someone who the Giants will attempt to retain. He has said that he wants to wait and see who the next manager is. But I think ultimately the Giants will pick their manager and try to re-sign Stephen Vogt. And ultimately, I expect that they will. And he's local. I'm sure he would like to stay here. You know, with the decline of Buster Posey, Vogt had a lot of playing time and a lot of opportunity. So I think it's a good fit for both sides. Tony Watson has a $2.5 million player option. So that becomes a question mark whether or not he picks that up. I have heard inklings that he's inclined not to exercise that option and he would become a free agent. So that being said, this was a decline year for Watson for sure. So the only other guy who might be a possibility is Pablo Sandoval, and I don't think that's entirely all that likely. So I'll just go with Smith and Vogt, with Bumgarner more like a 50-50 proposition. We'll discuss that question in more detail tomorrow, as well as answering the rest of the questions you guys posed on Twitter. So if you haven't seen it yet, or if you have a question, please go on there. I'll retweet it today, and you can submit your questions in the comment section. That is all the time we have for today. Remember to get this show every weekday. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.